All right, this evening we will cover probably the first half of chapter 2, a lot of different information that we're going to be looking at. You remember when Jeremiah started his preaching and God told him to look to and fro and see if he could find one man and he would spare Jerusalem, and how many did he find?
Zero.
He couldn't find any. But now we're maybe 15 years later, 15, 17 years later, and we have these four men who have been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. Now, you remember the vision that God gave to Jeremiah of the two baskets of figs?
Yes.
Anybody remember?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me about it.
One was like rotten. And
okay, one was rotten, and who were the rotten ones?
The absolute worst.
Well, yeah, but who were they, and who did God say they were? They depicted everybody left after the first captivity. The good figs are the ones that had Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Ezekiel, which still seems to be the only righteous people, even in Babylon. But Daniel has shown himself to be of sterling character. And of course, when God's eyelids are going to and fro and he's assessing people and testing them, when he finds a man like Daniel, what does he do? He starts working with him. And of course, today, when he finds people like that, he providentially brings them to another Christian or to a Christian who will then baptize them and bring them into the Lord's church. All right, in chapter 2, verse 1, we read about Nebuchadnezzar having a dream. And I think, does anybody here not know about Nebuchadnezzar's dream? And the image of gold, or excuse me, the head of gold, and we'll talk more about that as time goes on. But we have a lot of ground to cover tonight, so let's start with the time problem we have here. At the top of the page, you see that it was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, and what year was it of Nebuchadnezzar?
First.
Okay, his first year. Now, how long was Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How long were they supposed to have their training?
3 years.
3 years. But in his second year, he has a dream. Now, how do we reconcile that? Two ways to reconcile it. But think about it. He was brought in the first year. The dream comes in the second year. So how do we harmonize that? There's two ways to harmonize it. One is Daniel got the dream 1 year in. Is that possible? And hadn't graduated yet, but God had given him that ability. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that Nebuchadnezzar was a co-regent or a co-king with his father for a few years. And it was after Carchemish, when he defeated the king of Egypt, that he got word that his father had died, and he went directly across the desert. He didn't even use the Fertile Crescent. He went directly across the desert. Because when one king dies and the next king isn't there, what can happen?
He's overlooked.
See, he can be over, the government can be overthrown, so he wanted to hurry up and get back there. And then he started to reign. So some people think that the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, when he was in Jerusalem, was a co-reign, and now this second year is after his father died. So one of those two possibilities is going to be the case. It seems from the context that they did graduate, or they did have their 3 years of training before this occurred, but it doesn't, it's not absolutely, but we do know this. Is the Bible wrong? See, some people say, oh, look, you've got a contradiction in the Bible here. Is that going to happen? No. So there's a logical explanation. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has a challenge for the wise men. We all remember it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear your interpretation first. What do I want to hear first?
Tell me my dream.
Yeah, I want to hear the dream first. And does that make sense?
No.
And the guys in the court said, king, no king has ever asked.
Yeah, and they never have.
First.
They never had. But even today, if somebody says they're a faith healer, would I like to bring my own sick person and say, can you fix this guy? He's been lame. He's been paralyzed. He had polio. He hadn't been able to walk for 30 years. Can you heal him? What are they going to say?
You don't have faith.
Nobody's ever asked us to do anything like that before, right? So that's the problem. These necromancers and astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans, they're all cut from the same cloth. We've seen it today. When people go to these people, they speak in generalities. And can generalities, generally speaking, come true? Yeah, so most of the time their prophecies come true because you're going to get married. Well, is there a pretty good chance that's going to happen? And you're not, it's not going to work out. Well, once you find out it's not going to work out, how hard do you try? So you are your own worst enemy. And this is something that they've done with all of the occult today, is they've come to realize that a lot of these people are creating self-fulfilling prophecies. So if you tell someone they're going to be successful, then what do?
They have confidence.
They work harder and they're successful. You tell somebody you're going to fail at everything you do, and you're convinced of that, what's going to happen?
You're going to fail at everything.
So these guys, they're just waiting for the dream because they know once we got the dream, we got this in the bag. We'll give him a bunch of generalities. He'll be convinced and problem solved. But what's this king do? Yeah, I want to, and can you appreciate his wisdom here? I mean, if they can interpret the dream, what else should they be able to do? They should know what the dream is. And if they can't tell him the dream, then how could they possibly tell him about the interpretation? So they're in a bind because they are fakes. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to clean out his kingdom. If there's nobody that can really do this, then what's your purpose? Why should I have you around? So the decision, if you look at the very bottom of page 1, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you're going to be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. I don't know why they changed it to ash heap. Used to be what?
Dunghill.
What's a dunghill? Dunghill, a little worse than ash heap?
Yeah.
Yeah. Smellier. Yeah, because dung is a little worse than ashes, right? Because we all know what that is. All right, so let's go ahead and turn to page 2. So they're stalling for time. You see at the top there, chapter 2 and verse 7. Let the king tell his dream, and we will give the interpretation. And the king answered, I know for certain you would gain time. Is that probably true? I mean, if he asks them once, then he has to tell them a second time, what's that generally mean?
They're lying.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you. It's like if somebody asks you to do something and you say you've done it, and then they ask for it and they say, well, give me a couple of days, what do you know?
You haven't done anything.
Yeah, you're not telling the truth. I mean, if you did it, it should be prepared. If you can do it, you can do it now. Although Daniel wanted a little time, didn't he? Because one of the things we've learned about God is, do you go into his presence demanding something? No. You ask him and give him the time to, in his own time, to do that. We have a song about that. Okay, so I really like this next verse, so let's start in the front tonight. Ken, you want to read Daniel 2, 8 and 9? It's like the fourth paragraph down, or third paragraph down, fourth paragraph down on page 2.
Okay. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, then there's only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation.
Okay. And is that fair? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, this guy, he's got it down. You know, it's interesting. I can't remember now where it is. I think it's either in Ezekiel or Jeremiah, where it talks about that Nebuchadnezzar is at the crossroads, and he's looking at the liver, and he's checking something else to make the decision whether he's going to go this way or this way. And so we see his idolatrous tendencies, and these same guys are there telling him what he should do, but now he's not going to have that anymore. And so if you see in that verse right in the middle of the page, oh, I'm sorry, let's go ahead and read that next verse. Brian, you want to read Daniel 2, 10 and 11?
The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is the difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh.
And yet, what were they telling the king? Where are we getting our information?
The gods.
From these gods. Well, ask your gods. You're right. They're the only ones that would know. So ask them. You're supposed to be their priests. You're supposed to be the ones who can figure this stuff out. And so, you know, the logic of this guy's mind. And it's interesting because we're going to find out later after chapter 4, does he become a servant of God? After his dream and illness changed into an animal for a time. And then he said, I now admit God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he pleases. So for whatever reason, out of all the men that have ever been leaders of Gentile nations, this one is picked to get a dream and to become a servant of God. And why didn't he do that to Pharaoh?
He had a hard heart.
Yeah, it wouldn't have done any good if he'd said it would dream like that. It wouldn't have done any good at all. So these men have just proven that they are completely impotent and inept, and they can't do anything, which is a good thing, right? Good. And so King's very angry. Because what does he want? I mean, let's face it. What's this king really want?
The truth.
He wants an interpretation, right? He has a dream that's so vivid that he can't go back to sleep. And he's really shook up over it. And he really wants to know, what does this mean? So when they can't give him that information, he gets mad. I don't think he's mad. It's kind of, this is a secondary issue. What he really wants is an interpretation for the dream. If they can't give him the dream, they can't do the interpretation. He's not killing them because they...
They're being disobedient.
What's that?
Not because they're being disobedient on, you know, on purpose. Or
yeah, he's killing them because he really wants to know this. I mean, has he tolerated them up to this point? Has he ever put them into a test like that? And so... He gets really angry, and he gave the command to do what?
Destroy the wise men.
And how would God feel about that? Is that a good idea?
Suffer a few kisses.
That's a great idea, isn't it? I mean, what did God tell the Jewish people if they had people like this in their midst?
Destroy them.
Put them to death. So it would be a wonderful thing, but there's a problem. How are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego viewed by Babylon? See, they're in the same group, which means they're going to die too. And that's the reason that they ask for this vision, and that's the reason that God gives it to. So, and it appears that Arioch does not like this command. Let's take a look at this next verse. Connie, you want to read that for us? Daniel 2, 14. Actually, it's 14 and 15.
Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel.
Okay. If he really wanted to kill all these people and fulfill the command, would he even talk to Daniel? Mm-hmm. No. So this command is something he would like to get out from under. So he listens, and then Daniel goes ahead and tells him, I can do this. So we read at the very bottom. Cameron, you want to read that for us? It'll go on to page 3.
So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they may seek mercies from God, from the God of heaven, concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon.
Okay. So,
yeah. Is it a translation problem? I mean, he just said he was going to do the same thing all the other guys did. Didn't he say he was also going to give him the, you know, the whole thing, your dream and the interpretation?
I don't know.
It's not there in the script.
Yeah, no, he doesn't tell him that to begin with, but what's the necessary inference? Because the king told him, I'm not accepting an interpretation until you tell me the dream. You know, I think we really need to rename these guys. I think we need to learn their names. For some reason, Daniel, who is Belteshazzar, but how do we call Daniel? We call him Daniel. But the names of these guys are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and that "ah" at the end of the name is always referring to God. And the "L" at the end of the name is always referring to God. So these men had been named by their parents to express something about God, and it was Babylon who changed their names. And the scriptures never really, they never call Daniel Belteshazzar. Every time he's mentioned in relationship to God, it's always Daniel, and only the kings of Babylon are calling him by that name. So I don't know if it's possible. I can't do it. But I'm too old to relearn those names. So I'm just going to keep saying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But really, that's not their names. And that's not how Daniel and these men converse with each other. Matter of fact, I didn't put it in the notes, but I read last week that all of the names that the king of Babylon gave to those people have to do with their gods. And they are words that honor their gods. Which, would a Jew like that? To have a name honoring an idolatrous... So Abednego is a servant of Nebo. So, and Belteshazzar is a servant of Bel. So they didn't answer to these names. Johnny?
Years ago, when Osby was teaching this same lesson, he said it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not Abednego.
Yeah, Abednego. Right. Yeah, no, Abend. I've never heard anybody call him Abednego, but my ears aren't that good. But yeah, no, it isn't. Okay, so we have to look at something, though, here, because it says at the very first, he asked the king to give him time. He went in and asked the king to give him time. Now, it appears that means he actually went into the king. But we're going to find out later that we're going to have to look at this a little bit differently. If he goes in to talk to the people who brings a message to the king, did he go into the king? I mean, if you go to the governor, are you going to talk to the governor?
No.
No. But if you go into the governor, can you get the information to the governor? But you're not actually going to talk to him. So, as I said, in a moment, we'll talk a little more about that. Carl?
We see a difference here between the orders of the king to his magicians and the difference between his orders to Daniel. Daniel gave time. The magicians, he didn't.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true.
That's through the divine providence of God.
Yeah. And again, what does he really want? He wants the interpretation. He doesn't really want to kill everybody. He just wants a true interpretation. And when they give him a little bit of hope, he says, okay, well, let's wait. I mean, I'm not in a big hurry. We can kill you tomorrow. It's as easy as today, right? So no big rush on this. I want the interpretation. And if we kill them all, kill all the people, I'm never going to get it. So he's hopeful to do that. Now, I took some time this afternoon, and I went through the scriptures, and because I've always been intrigued by this concept of dreams and visions. Anybody know the difference between a dream and a vision? I used to think I did, but I'm not so sure anymore. I mean, I would have given you the basic answer, which is a dream is what?
When you're asleep.
And a vision is when you're awake. But we're going to find out. I'm not going to read all this tonight. You can look at it later. But it's very clear in Numbers chapter 12, which is where I think we really get assessment, which is the very first verse under dreams and visions. It says, remember when Miriam and Aaron have undermined Moses' authority? Even after Korah. Remember we talked about Korah on Sunday, and they undermined his authority, and what did God do?
Made Miriam Muchus.
Well, no, I mean Korah.
Killed them all.
Okay, he killed them all. So wouldn't you think Miriam and Aaron might be a little nervous about doing this? But their argumentation is almost the same. He hasn't just spoken to you, Moses. He's spoken to us too. And we're just as good as you are. And then here comes God. And God says, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so, my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Would your knees be shaken about now?
Yeah.
We've made a big blunder. And of course, as Cameron pointed out, God struck her with leprosy. And what's Moses' first response? Heal her, Lord. And what does God say? If her father had but
spit
in her face, she'd be unclean for a week. So let's leave her in her leprosy for a week. How Aaron got out of it, I don't know. He seems to always wiggle out of everything. But I don't know. I don't know about Aaron. He's got some issues. Okay, so, you know, when he says, I put it in the fire and what? The calf has jumped out, Moses. I didn't do it.
You can see Moses' face just going, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my brother.
Well, and that's, remember, God said, find somebody, or Moses said, find somebody else. And what was God's problem?
There is nobody.
There wasn't anybody else. There wasn't anyone else but Moses to do this job. He couldn't have relied on Aaron. Aaron didn't have any backbone at critical moments. Okay, and then you can kind of look through. Let's just hit a couple of these. The first one, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Then we've all remember Jacob's ladder, where he dreamed and there was a ladder. Then he says, the angel of God spoke to me in a dream. God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and talked to him. And so you can kind of drop down through. Joseph had his dreams. And let's go ahead and turn the page. You know, and it's interesting, we come into the New Testament, and how did Joseph find out his wife wasn't an adulteress? God appeared to him in a dream. He saw it in a dream. And, let's see. Actually, it was a vision. I'm sorry.
That was a dream.
Yeah, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Sorry, I'm trying to find my place here. And then when he was divinely warned not to return to Herod, and then the Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him, go live in Nazareth. Go live in Nazareth, come out of Galilee so he can be called a Nazarene. then we come to visions. Oh, Carl?
Peter on the housetop.
Yeah, that was a vision. We're gonna talk about him. So dreams, we know for sure, are what? I mean, you can't have a dream unless you're asleep, right? So these are all asleep, but did Abimelech talk to God in his sleep? In other words, the dream was a dream, but God is telling him, you're a dead man because you've got somebody else's wife. And he says, I didn't know. And God says, I know you didn't know, and that's why I've withheld you from committing this sin against her. And I've closed the wombs of all of your women in your whole town, and if you don't restore this man. And so they're having a conversation in this dream. How do we, you think there's a difference between that kind of a dream and the ones we dream? I mean, there has to be some difference, right? Otherwise, what would you think when you woke up?
It was just a dream.
So these are things, I mean, let's face it, if Joseph had a dream that Mary, his wife, was innocent, and he just thought it was a dream, what would he do? He would probably not act on it. Right? And then we come to visions. Now, the first vision with Samuel, definitely he's awake. Remember, Samuel. And Samuel trots into Eli and says, what do you want? And Eli says, I didn't call you. And then God says again, Samuel. He gets up again and says, you called me. And what does Eli say that time? Next time you hear that, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then it happened again. And then the next day, then why was Samuel afraid to tell Eli the vision?
It wasn't something you want to say.
That's a pretty bad vision, wasn't it? His sons are going to die in one day, and I think he was going to die the same day. So then when Nathan finds out about David, it's a vision. Ezekiel in chapter 1, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. So, asleep or awake? Probably awake. He brought me in visions of God to Jerusalem. He brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea. But look at Daniel 4, 5, and 6. And I forgot to bold the vision. But look at that. It says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. So what's this? Had a dream, calls the dream, visions on my bed. Now, one of two things is possible. Either he had a dream, he woke up, and it continued, or he is equating the two. Ken?
No, he was just going from young man to elder man.
But look at the next one. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Now, is that two separate things or one thing? Again, you're looking at that. Okay. Then he wrote down the dream. And Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Is it a vision? Is it a dream?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Perfect answer. Okay, you know, I was never aware of this, but when Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah came, was that real?
Yeah.
But what is it called? What does Jesus call it in Matthew 17:9, right at the bottom of the page?
Visions.
Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. All right, so are visions always not true? I mean, are visions just visions? Are they sometimes, in other words, if you see an angel, are you really seeing an angel? If it's a vision?
You probably should.
Well, if it says God sent an angel and he saw him in a vision, maybe that's how, that's the only way. Well, look at it like this. Can we see spiritual things with our eyes?
No.
So if God's going to show us spiritual things with our eyes, how is he going to do it? It's going to have to be through a vision, because we couldn't see it with our real eyes. We can only see it if God allows us to see it. So the visions are no less true, but the way that they are conveyed is not directly. Although when Peter is getting out of prison, what does he think is happening?
He's in a dream.
He thought it was a vision. So how vivid are visions? I mean, he had just seen... Well, let's turn the page here. Let's drop down to Acts chapter 10, where Peter sees the sheet come down and open up, and what's inside? All the animals. And it says he wondered within himself what that vision he had seen meant. Then in verse 19, he thought upon the vision. And then in verse chapter 11, he says, in a trance, I saw a vision. So now we have something else. What is a trance? Well, the magicians use that term, but I don't think that's what this is dealing with. I think essentially what it's saying is that you're losing contact with this world as you see what's going on in the next world. And so it was in a trance. It says, though, in chapter 12, so he went out followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So what was the difference between this and what Peter saw in chapter 10? There isn't any difference. He couldn't tell. And Paul says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, such a one was caught up in the third heaven. In other words, I don't know if it really happened or if it was a vision. So what's Paul telling us about visions? You can't tell the difference. Which, generally speaking, I mean, have you ever had a dream where you woke up and said that really happened? Ever had a dream that vivid where you thought it had happened? So it can happen, but how often does that happen in our life? George?
I had a dream one time that was very vivid, and I had seen that in years before, essentially the same thing. But it was so vivid, but I knew it was no more than a dream, because it was my grandfather walking near his house and me standing near his house and seeing him out in the pasture. Now, I had seen him do that, but this was very vivid. It was him in my dream. So dreams can be very vivid at
right.
that point.
Yeah, it can be. And we have to be careful, because how many dreams are there today in visions?
No.
None. There aren't any. We are following the Word of God, and yet people all the time are telling us, I had a vision that was different from the Scriptures, and I'm going to follow the vision. Now, what are the chances of that happening?
Zero.
Absolutely none. All right, so you can look at that later. I just found it fascinating. Johnny?
I had a dream similar to what George was talking about several times. But I also had a dream of horror that was really happened to me. But I dreamed it like it was absolutely real, time after time after time. What's the difference now?
Well, the only answer I can give you is in Ecclesiastes, and that says dreams come through much activity. So, through much activity. So, what generally develops our dreams is what we're thinking about. If you're thinking about certain things long enough, you start dreaming about it. And I sure didn't intend to get off on human dreams here, but we'll go ahead with it since I got about four hands now. And I'm going to be saved by the bell here real quick. Let's see, where do I start? I think, what's that?
Everybody wants to testify.
Well, that's right. I want to talk about our dreams. Okay, I think Ray and then George and then I saw... Ken and then Connie. And that should pretty well wind out the class. So I'm going to get in my easy chair here. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Teenager, I used to sleepwalk. And my cousin saw me and took a picture of me. And I looked like I was... I couldn't remember. And I looked like I was awake with my eyes open, but I was...
Right.
And I went back.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, the sleepwalking. Right. Well, no, I don't know about that. Some people are just prone to that more than others. George?
Well, dreams, as you say, are triggered by our thoughts and the things that we do. If we watch enough crazy stuff on TV and so forth of some of these Batman and stuff like that, which... maybe it's questionable to watch in the first place, but some people have weird dreams as a result of that.
Right.
And so we need to watch what we think about when it comes to dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly right. When you start dreaming about sinning, what does that tell you? You're thinking about it way too much. Let's see.
It's Ken.
Ken, sorry.
I was trying to find the scripture, but when Daniel talks to the king about the dream, he says, you were sitting on your bed considering what was going on, what was going to be the future.
Right.
And he must have been thinking about that very hard, and then he goes to sleep and starts dreaming about it.
Right. But the difference is, Daniel says, God decided to give you the answer. So we'll see that. God decided. This was God who gave you that dream, just like God gave Pharaoh that dream. Connie?
And also in the book of Revelation where it says about John, who an angel had given him what was going on.
Right, right. Yeah, I skipped Revelation. I didn't go into that because it's... anyway, I didn't. Cameron?
What's the prophet's name? When he was taken up into fire...
Elijah?
Yeah, Elijah, that's it. Was that referred to as a vision or was that... Because that sounds similar to some of the events that are described as visions.
It doesn't actually say what it was, but since it says that God speaks in visions and dreams, it'd probably be one or the other, right?
Well, because I think only Elisha saw it, right? I don't think everybody around him saw it.
Right.
They?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. Well, we did finish. Is that the first bell or the second bell? Oh, Jeannie, sorry. I don't want to skip it.
One of the verses you cited in Ezekiel 1 said, the heavens were open and I saw a vision of God. And in Acts 7, when Stephen, the heavens open and he sees Jesus and God. What is that?
I don't know. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. So if it says it's a vision, we know it's a vision. If it doesn't say, we can assume it. Because it does say, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, whatever things God has prepared for those who love him. I don't know, and God, of course, said, no man can see me and live. So
No, it says he saw the glory of God.
Right.
It was filled with the Holy Spirit just before.
Right. So it'd have to be a vision, right? Because if he saw the glory of God, he'd have to die. Of course, he did die, so maybe that one won't work either.
Well, Moses spoke to God face to face.
Right. But no one has seen God, right?
Yeah.
No man has ever seen God. We've seen visions of God. And, so, anybody else? All right, and it's an... Oh, go ahead, Virgil. It's an intriguing subject, I was going to say.
We'll extend the other bit.
Yeah, please do. Please do. Tell us your dreams. I'll interpret them for you.
I think it would be a safe thing to say that in this dispensation of time, at this time, since we are guided through the Word, that the Spirit has relayed to us, that no matter what we see in a vision or in a dream is not authority for us to act on anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Higher angel from heaven should come to you. Do not receive him.
Right. Yeah. Let him be a curse.
And the reason I say that, things of this nature can swirl around and somebody can take and pick it up someplace.
Right.
And run with it. And pretty soon there can be a problem caused by it. And we've seen that in this area in, you know, over the years.
Yeah, so if God, and I'm not going to limit God, if God wants to help me by revealing something to me in a dream, would I say that couldn't happen? But if he tells me something that's not in the scriptures, then what do I know? That's not a dream. And I'm real skeptical about that kind of stuff. I just think that God has, at the end of these days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And I think that pretty well nails it down. Now, if God, I mean, we pray that God will be with the preacher so he'll do a good job. Is that possible God could do that for him?
Yes.
Yeah, well, how? Well, through providence. I don't know. I wonder sometimes about me. When you get me out of the pulpit, I can say the silliest things, but I never say them in the pulpit, so I don't know why. I think God's blessing me. Carl?
And I think, hearing you say before, not to underestimate God's providence. We can't do everything on our own.
Right.
We got to include God in our plans.
Right.
And that type of thing, for it to come to pass. So
sure.
I tell my kids sometimes, I says, God has provided the opportunity and gave me the wisdom. God opened the door of opportunity and gave me the wisdom to walk through.
Right. Yeah, and that's a, you know, that's another interesting consideration. We pray for wisdom. God gives us wisdom. How? Well, I don't know. He works in the mind. Maybe it's a dream you don't remember. Let's close there. Thanks for all your comments, and we'll pick up in the middle of his dream, or actually in the middle of the interpretation. I'll just move this stuff over, so don't worry about bringing this back.